1 Corinthians chapter 6 for our message today. You follow along as I begin reading here in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And then I trust we'll open our hearts to hear what the Word of God has to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goes to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meat, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our Father, we love you today. We thank you for ministering to us in music. And thank you for reminding us of your presence, reminding us of your goodness, reminding us of what you desire to do in our lives. Thank you for a good church. Thank you for a good pastor. Thank you for good people who love you. And I pray in a very special way that you'd minister to our hearts today. I pray you'll take me as your servant. I ask you, dear God, that you would first of all cleanse me of any sin. Then I pray you will empty me of self. Then I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit. I pray you'll speak to the heart of every Christian here today. And then if there be one here who's lost, I pray in this passage, in some way you'll touch that life and help them to know that they can be washed, sanctified, justified by Almighty God. Now you bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The church of Corinth, without a doubt, was special to Almighty God and special to the Apostle Paul, who established this church under the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, spent 18 months there, and preached to a church. I like Corinth because it shows us just about everything you can learn about a church. It'll show that God is not in the business of selecting just good people to be able to put in his local church. He's looking for sinners that he can save by his grace. He loves to be able to wash people in his blood. Then he wants to sanctify us or set us apart. And he justifies us or declares us righteous as if we've never sinned. By the way, that's always been the business of God. That's always been the work of God. That's always been the desire of God. Nothing was different when Paul went into Corinth, where nobody wanted to go, preached the gospel. People got saved, and guess what he did? He washed folks, sanctified folks, justified folks, just like he said. Now, Paul says, I love Corinth. As a matter of fact, he wrote a couple of books to this local church. In chapter 1 of the first book, he said this, and I want you to listen to the words that he said to the church of Corinth. He says, that in everything ye are enriched by him. Well, that's a good sign. In everything you are enriched by him. In all utterance and knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. And then he said, so that ye come behind in no gift. He says, these folks that got washed and sanctified and justified, a church was formed that you could walk in that place and the very presence that we're saying about was seen in that place. And as a matter of fact, he says, as a church, you come behind in no gift. In other words, he says, I put everything in the church that it needs. In other words, I washed people, sanctified people, justified people. I made an organism that I will give my presence, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that cannot be accomplished in this place. This is what he's writing. And then, of course, we later on, and we find out that this great church that came behind in no gift and the testimony of Jesus Christ was confirmed in there, all of a sudden began to behave in an unbiblical way. Nobody said amen to that. By the way, let me throw this in to help you out. Churches are no different today. There are still those of us who get washed and sanctified, justified, get in the church and do things, and there's still times for some reason, because we are flesh and the flesh gets a hold of us, we act in an unbiblical way. As a matter of fact, that's becoming common practice in churches today. So the Apostle Paul was concerned about this. Once again, this church that came behind in no gift, this church that the testimony of Jesus Christ was confirmed in this place, all of a sudden started acting in an unbiblical way. Chapter 1, they were lifted up in pride. Chapter 3, they had carnality, immorality. In chapter 5, we find out in 12 through 14, they were confused about the gifts of the Spirit. They were messed up about the resurrection. They started robbing God. All of these things were going on in this local New Testament church. Paul writes here in chapter number 6, and here's one of the things that they were doing that bothered him. They were all of a sudden beginning taking other Christians before the heathens to judge matters that was a church matter. And Paul said, well, hold on a second. You come behind in no gift. You've got gifts and talents. You're spiritual enough and talented enough to handle anything that goes on in the local church. And throughout this chapter, 6 times, he asked this church a question. He said in chapter, verse number 2, he says, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? In chapter 3, he says, know ye not that we shall judge angels?
In chapter 9, verse number 9, rather, he said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" In verse 15, he says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the temple, are members of Christ?" Then he said in verse 16, "Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body?" Then he said in verse number 19, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" Now get the setting he's saying. I witnessed a church that came behind in no gift. I saw people washed, sanctified, justified in this organism. I saw a church with all kinds of gifts and talent. And now I'm seeing that same church act in an unbiblical way. And the question he asked is the question I want to ask today. He says, "Know ye not, know ye not, know ye not, don't you know?" He says, obviously, for you to behave that way, there must be some things you just don't know. You see, Paul said, there's just some things that God's people ought to know. I mean, why is it so? Because if I truly know these, I'm not talking about head knowledge, I'm talking about heartfelt. If I know some things, if I know the God that I'm singing about, if I know the God that I'm praying to, if I know that, you know what's going to happen? It will determine how I behave. I want you to look at this example here this morning, and I want to show you from this passage some things God's people ought to know. And if I know these things will change me and show me how to behave. What? Know ye not? Don't you know these things? And he was saying, I spent 18 months in that church. I preached the word of God. I saw God do a work. I saw sinners washed. I saw them sanctified. I saw them justified. I saw them given gifts and talents. How in the world could they act this way? It must be there are some things they just don't know. And he says, there's some things God's people, Christian folks, ought to know. And if you know those things, it'll change how we behave. The first one is in verses 2 and 3. He says, "Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" The first thing he says, don't you know as a Christian? Don't you know as a church member? Don't you know as one who's been washed, sanctified, and justified? Don't you know your position in the future? Don't you know that what's happened down here on earth, this is not the end? Have you ever thought when you got washed and sanctified and justified, God has a position for you that'll help you in every single thing you do here on earth? Well, let me remind us of something and the position God gave us when he saved us. According to the Bible, he raised us up in Christ. It says, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." I mean, that's what happened when I got saved. My position in the future, I've been raised with Christ. One day, if I'm here, if I'm alive, when he comes back, I'm going to be raptured with Christ. Hey, let me tell you a little bit more. I'm going to reign with Christ. I'm going to rule with Christ. I'm going to ride with Christ. I've been raised up together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then act like it. Then act like it. Act like this is not my home. I'm just passing through. Act like it. If we are going to rule and reign and ride with Jesus Christ, let's start getting ready. Because one day he's coming back again. He says, don't you know that? Do you really know, Christian, the exalted position we have in Jesus Christ? It's not an imagination. It's something that is real. Paul says, I'm shocked. I'm shocked that people that are in heavenly places can't handle little matters down here on earth. He said, I'm shocked. You must not know the position God puts you in when he saved you. Then he goes on. He says in verse number 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11, and such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Paul says, I'm shocked. I'm shocked the way you're behaving. You must not know your position in the future. That ought to be enough to stir me and move me and help me to go on. But if that's not enough, don't you know your past sins are forgiven? Have you not realized whatever you've done in the past, you've been washed in the blood. You've been sanctified by the Spirit. You've been justified by the Savior. Therefore, you can win every struggle you have in this life. Don't you know that? Then act like it, he says. Stop letting things get you down. You've got a position in the future, and your past sins have been forgiven. Every single one of them. I mean, let me tell you something. The devil cannot bring them up in your mind, but they're under the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we ought not to be struggling just to do right and wrong. I ought to be a point in my life, if my position is in heaven, where the Bible says, if my past sins are forgiven, I should go beyond just doing right and wrong. I ought to be striving to do better or best. He said, I'm shocked. I'm shocked to see washed, sanctified, justified folks acting like they're still sinful folks. Know ye not that your past sins are forgiven? He goes on. He doesn't stop there. Know ye not your position in the future? Know ye not that your past sins are forgiven? But then he says to most of us, I can't say everybody because I don't know your position. He says, don't you know you're part of the church? Not part of an organization. Not part of a social club. You're part of the church. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is where Jesus is preeminent. We sing about him, pray in his name, preach about him. Don't you know it's the place where you're a part of his program? If that's not enough, you're part of the place or the organism that was purchased with his own blood. When you got washed, sanctified, justified, and baptized, you became part of the church. And because you're part of the church, you ought to forsake sin, as it says in verse 13. You ought to flee sexual immorality. And you ought to follow the Spirit. That's why it says, walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I've this week, as much as any time in my Christian life, I thank God for his church. To be able to see people of all walks of life that you've seen, I mean, how they got saved and how they gave the life and time and talent and treasure. Why? Because they're part of the organism called the church, where we sing about his presence, sing about his power, being able to pray and see what it can do. That, let me tell you something. I said a long time ago, if I were not a member of a local New Testament church, here's what I would be. I'd be ashamed. It's God's place. And he says, Paul said, 18 months I preached to you. And you were people of all walks of life, drunkards and liars, but you got washed and sanctified, justified, and then you got baptized, and you became a part of the church. You know what it tells me? I can't do anything and everything I want to. My time's not mine. My talent's not mine. My treasure's not mine. He gave it to me to use in this organism called the church. Now he says to the Corinthians and to us today, don't you know that? You figured that out yet? I wasn't out trying to build an organization. I was building an organism. And you've got people who were like this and like that and like that. And I'm saying, such were some of you, but now you're part of the church. Don't you know that? You can't do any and everything you want to. You don't have a right to do anything in the world. You represent God's church. When I walk outside of this building and I'm on my job, I'm in the streets, I'm in the grocery store. I'm representing the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that he purchased with his own blood. He says, don't you know that? Number four, don't you know your position in the future? You're going to judge angels. You're going to ride with me and rule with me and reign with me. If you're alive, you're going to be raptured with me. If you're dead in Christ, you're going to be raised up, resurrected. That puts you in a great position. And I know you might have thought you were the worst person in the world, but when I washed you and sanctified you and justified you, I put you in a position in life where you can conquer anything. And I thought enough of you that you'd love me enough to be obedient, to be a part of a local church. You can give your time, give your talent, give your treasure. No, you're not, but you're part of the church. Number four, in verses 19 and 20, he says this, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The fourth thing he says, you really must not know this.
You don't know your position in the future. Because of the way you're acting, you must have forgotten your past sins have been forgiven. You don't seem to care that you're part of the church.
Well, let me remind you of something you better know. You better know the price that was paid for you.
Don't you know what it cost me to put you in this position? Don't you know what it cost me to wash away your sins? Don't you know what it cost me to make you a part of the church? Don't you know that?
He says, your body is the dwelling place of the Spirit. Let's put it simple. Don't you know the Spirit lives in you? Don't you know that?
Don't you know where you go, you take him? Don't you know if you act a certain way, you grieve him? Don't you know that if you need to make a decision, he will help you? Don't you know that if you pray and don't know what to pray, he'll help you? Don't you know that?
If you do, then why are you acting the way you act? Your body is the dwelling place of the Spirit. That's not enough. He says, and you're not your own. You belong to the Savior. I bought you, not with silver and gold, but with my own precious blood. You were standing on the slave market of sin, headed to a place called hell, when there was not enough gold to buy you, not enough anything to buy you. I came by, and with my precious blood, I bought you, and you are mine.
Don't you know that? Well, if you're mine, you belong to me. How come you're putting yourself on the throne instead of me on the throne?
You spend your time pleasing you rather than pleasing me. Your body is the dwelling place of the Spirit. You belong to the Savior. That's not enough, for you were bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, since the body is the dwelling place of the Spirit, and we belong to the Savior, and we were bought with the shed blood, therefore glorify God in your body, which are God. And Paul says, I'm shocked. Get a hold of this. I am totally shocked that Christians, church people, born again folks, can act the way you're acting. He said, if you understand the price that was paid for you, you'll understand this. Your body is a dwelling place of the Spirit. You belong to the Savior. You were bought with a price. Therefore, behave like a saint. You got help. Behave a certain way. Let it all come out in you. Let it be seen.
I'm not my own. I belong to him. He said, I'm shocked. I'm hurt. I'm disappointed. Why are you acting that way? You're not the same. You must have forgotten.
What happened to you during those 18 months? God says, I gave you a position in the future. Your past sins have been forgiven. I made you a part of the church. The price that was paid for your sins, I washed you and I cleaned you up. Then I made your body the dwelling place of the Spirit. And the Spirit talks about me, and you belong to me. And he says, You were bought with my blood. Then I expect you to behave in the manner of what was done. And he says, when I see people who came behind in no gift, where the testimony of Jesus Christ was once confirmed in that place, to behave in this manner, he says, I am shocked. And the only thing I can think of, there's just some things they just don't know. They don't know that position. They must not know that their past sins are forgiven. They must not know they're part of the church. They must not know the price that was paid. Because if they did, they'd behave like it. That's heart searching. The facts of the Bible are true. And then he said one other thing. Don't you know your position in the future? Don't you know your past sins are forgiven? Don't you know you're part of the church? Don't you know the price that was paid? And let me tell you, in spite of all that, if we've been washed, we've been sanctified, we've been justified, heaven's still our home because of what he's done in spite of what we do on a regular basis. But he says one other thing that you must not know. And he said in verse number 9, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he lists a whole bunch of people down here. And he's simply saying this. People who practice these sins habitually and never change, they're going to perish and not go to heaven. Now that you can't afford not to know. You've got to know that you got to be washed. It doesn't mean that anybody can commit one of these sins is lost and on their way to hell. But behold, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. God expects people where the Holy Spirit lives in us for our behavior to demonstrate that. If you're here today, know ye not that if you don't get saved and get washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't care how good you are, how much you go to church, how well you sing, how you utter your prayers, if you've never been washed in the blood, whether you commit any of these sins in here, you won't go to heaven. That's something every man, every woman, every boy on this earth need to know. You need to know that if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, you'll perish in a place called hell. Paul said, I love Corinth. I spent 18 months there. I preached the Bible. People got saved. Every pastor loves his church, loves his people. I've been around long enough to see that what's in this book works. It works. I've seen people long for the day that he's coming back because they know we've been raised up together to sit with him in heavenly places. We know we're going to reign with him. We know our loved ones who died in Christ are going to be raptured with him. We know that. And we live every day showing that to other people. I got saved at 30. You know what? I know my past sins have been forgiven. Every one of them. Every once in a while, old Satan will bring them back and kind of want to slow you down a little bit and get you on the guilt trip. But you turn back and say, it's under the blood. Let me tell you something, Slewfoot. July 22nd, 1976, I got washed. Not in water. I got washed in the blood. And then I realized I got sanctified by his spirit. I belong to him. God lives in me. The comforter lives in me. And you know what? I realized I got justified by the Savior. And he sees me as if I never sinned one time. And I've learned over the years that I can have victory over my struggles, though they often
oftentimes come, there's victory in Jesus. And I know that. I also know I'm part of the church, and I wouldn't be anything else. May not be the best church member in the world, but I tell you one thing, I love my church. And I cannot look to the cross without realizing the price that was paid for me. And God lives in me. Where I go, I take God. He lives with me. And my desire ought to be to glorify him in every single thing that I do. Now, I guarantee you this. If you truly, truly know those things, you'll behave differently. You can't, there's no way to know those things without behaving in a way that honors our Lord. No, you're not. Your position in the future. Don't you know your past sins are forgiven? Don't you know you're part of the church? Don't you know the price that was paid for you? If you know those things, for heaven's sake, act like it. Know you not that if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll perish, though you may be on the church's roll. You may be working in the church, but you're not part of the family of God. You'll end up in a place called hell. You see, if you're saved, you're a member of the family of God. Those who are in the family of God, if they're going to please God, need to get in the church of God. That's why it's important that after I'm saved, I get scripturally baptized, join a good local New Testament church. After all, I'm no longer mine. I belong to him. Do you know these things? These are things that Christian people ought to know. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around for just a moment. How many people in here can say at least you did five things? But that last one, I got settled. I know without a doubt if I die this moment, heaven's my home because I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You know that? Raise your hands real high. It's been settled. You may put them down. Now, those of you who are saved, do you find yourself every once in a while that your past sins get you down and you just can't be what you need to be? Do you find yourself that even though you know you're saved and heaven's your home, but you just really don't give your time, your talent, your treasure to this organism called the church? Maybe every once in a while you find yourself not doing what you ought to be doing. You seem to forget the price that was paid for you. You say, preacher, somewhere along that line, God spoke in my heart. I want to be honest with you and honest with him, and I want you to pray for him. If that's you, would you raise your hands real high? God's spoken in my heart. You may put them down. Now listen to me. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? You know what unrighteous is? It's not doing unrighteous things. You were born unrighteous when you came out of the womb. You became out of the womb a child of Adam. To be saved, you've got to be a child of God. You've got to be washed. You may be a church member. You may be a good person. But if you've never been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you'll never inherit the kingdom of God. You say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I certainly don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me in your closing prayer? If that's you here today, would you slip your hand up for just a moment and say, pray for me. I'm not sure that if I died I'd go to heaven, but I know I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that at all? Just slip your hand up for just a second. Pray for me. Thank you. I see the head in the back. I'll pray for you. Won't call your name. Don't know it. Pray for you. Anyone else? Let's stand together.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around for just a moment. I want you to ponder for just a moment. Do you know you have an exalted position in heaven? God gave us that when he saved us. Do you know that your past sins are forgiven? Do you know that you're part of the church, if you're a member of a good local church? Do you know the price that was paid for you? If you really know that, can you say honestly, my behavior demonstrates that? If not, you ought to come this morning and say, God, help me. Help me. I don't have the victory I need to have in this life, but you live in me. Help me to have victory. If you're here today, you never trusted Christ, you come, let someone take a Bible and show you how to be saved. I'm going to pray, and then the invitation is going to play. If God speaks to your heart, you come. Our Father, I pray you'll save this one that raised his hand. Is not saved this morning, might come. And I pray for Christians all over this building. God, we are blessed people. We've been washed and sanctified and justified. And we do some crazy things. We often act in an unbiblical way, just like the Corinthians. Help us. Help us to behave like we know what you've done in our lives. Now you bless the invitation, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray.